Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Ahaziah was the son of Ahab and Jezebel, who were among the most wicked rulers Israel ever had. His parents brought Baal worship into the land and turned God's people away from him. Although Ahaziah reigned for only a short time, he was just as evil as his parents. 1 Kings 22 verse 53 notes that he aroused the anger of the Lord due to his own worship of Baal, which continued to lead the people into sin and idolatry. 2 years into his reign, the king fell through the balcony railing on the rooftop of his house in Samaria and was injured.
Your Royal Highness, the Queen Mother, I bring you news of the king.
What of my son? Is he unwell?
Not long after he learned of a rebellion in Moab, he fell through the wooden slats around the porch on the flat roof of the palace. He is badly injured.
Make haste. Prepare my chariot. I will go to him.
Soon after his mother's visit, Ahaziah sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Ekron was located in the southwestern part of the land of Canaan. It was a significant center of Philistine culture and religion.
Go to one of the temples. Ask if I am going to recover from this accident.
But God had a different plan. He sent the prophet Elijah to intercept the messengers and deliver a sobering message. And so he did, along the main road from Samaria to Ekron.
Who are you?
I am a messenger from the Lord God.
Move aside, we are on a mission for the king.
I am here to send you back to your master.
Pardon me? You dare defy emissaries from the king?
I know of your mission. Is it because there's no god in Israel that you're running off to consult Baal-zebub, god of Ekron? Here's a message for the king, from the god of Abraham, Isaac, and yes, Israel. You will never get out of that bed alive. You will die for sure.
The king's messengers turned around and returned to the palace in Samaria. The captain of the guard went into the king's chambers.
Why have you returned?
The captain recounted what happened on the road to Ekron.
What kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things?
He wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather about his waist.
For the love of everything that is sacred, it is Elijah the Tishbite.
Determined to confront Elijah himself, Ahaziah sent a captain with 50 men to bring the Tishbite to him. During the time of Ahaziah, a company of 50 men held a significant role. In the military structure of ancient Israel, 50 men formed a basic unit, known as a 50 or 50-man unit. This unit was often led by a captain or officer who commanded and organized the group. The use of the number 50 as a standard unit in the Israelite army had practical advantages. It allowed for efficient organization, communication, and coordination of troops. It provided a manageable-sized unit that could be easily mobilized and deployed in battle. Additionally, the number 50 carried symbolic significance. In biblical numerology, the number 50 often represented a sense of fullness, completeness, or fulfillment. It was associated with the concept of jubilee and the completion of cycles. Ahaziah sent such a unit because he wanted to leave nothing to chance. He dispatched an efficient fighting force to execute an arrest. Elisha, the prophet's servant, saw the approaching company of soldiers when they were still far off. He and Elijah were both sitting on a hill.
My lord, Elijah. It appears the king has sent a delegation for you. I suspect he was none too pleased that you thwarted his efforts to seek counsel from the god of the pagans.
Never mind, Elisha. God will protect us.
The company halted at the foot of the hill. The captain dismounted from his horse and called up to Elijah.
Oh man of God, the king says, come down.
Come down. Come down so that you can arrest me. Come down so that you can take me back to your godless master and have him kill me. Why would I do that?
Man of God, come down.
if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men.
Then fire fell from heaven and killed them all. Word came to Ahaziah of what had happened. Undeterred, he sent another captain with 50 men.
Here we go again. Another company of 50.
O man of God, this is the order of Ahaziah, first of his name, king of Israel, come down quickly.
Another day, and another captain. Sad, sad, sad. Is the king so hard-headed that he has not yet grasped the futility of his efforts? Has he not seen how displeased the Lord God is with his course of action? Captain, for your sake, I advise you to retreat and go back home to your family. For your sake, and the sake of your 50.
I am not here to argue with you. I have explicit orders. Now, man of God, come down or I shall come up and get you.
You and I both answer to a higher authority than a king. We must choose to face the consequences of disobeying the king's order, rather than compromise our worship of the true God.
This is your last warning, man of God. Come down now.
Elisha, have we not heard this before? My dear captain, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men.
Once again, fire fell from heaven and killed them all. And word again reached the king.
What? This Tishbite is trying me. Send another 50.
The king then sent a third company of 50 men. This captain, unlike his two predecessors, approached Elijah with humility and reverence. Recognizing the power of the man of God, he pleaded for his life and the lives of his men. In a surprising turn of events, an angel of the Lord appeared to Elijah and instructed him to go down with the captain and his men, assuring him of their safety. Elijah obeyed the divine command and went with the captain to stand before Ahaziah. Ahaziah was in agonizing pain in his bed when Elijah was ushered into his private chamber. He gritted his teeth and looked up at the prophet, malice in his eyes.
You troubled Israel during my father's reign, and now you trouble me?
I am not the one troubling anyone here. I am just a messenger of the Lord God. Look no further than your mirror to see who is leading Israel astray.
Did you not bring a drought upon the land? Did you not rain down fire on the prophets of Baal? Did you not bring down fire on my men?
I have done all at the direction of the one true God.
But surely, there are many gods. There can't be just one.
Did your father not teach you about the God who spoke this world into existence, and then cleansed that world with a flood, when every intention of the thoughts of the heart of men was only evil continually? Did he not teach you that this same God made a covenant with Abraham, which he renewed with Isaac and Jacob? Did he not teach you that he changed Jacob's name from supplanter to Israel, he who struggles with God? Did he not teach you about how he delivered our people from bondage in Egypt, gave us the law, and brought us safely into the promised land? Did he not teach you that Elohim is a jealous God? You shall have no other gods before him.
I was raised not only by my Israelite father, but also by my Phoenician mother.
Because you have sought the counsel of Baal-zebub and not the God of Israel, you will not recover from your injuries.
I have been a king but a short time. Surely, Elohim will have mercy on me.
You had time enough to call upon the name of the true God. Rather, you sought the counsel of the Lord of the Flies. And you continue to lead the people of Israel into idolatry.
Tell me what I must do to make amends.
You will surely die.
With that, the Tishbite exited the king's private chamber. And so it came to pass, just as Elijah had prophesied. Ahaziah, the wicked king, met his demise, and the words of the Lord spoken through his prophet were fulfilled. Jehoram, another son of Ahab and Jezebel, ruled in his brother's stead. Through fire and divine intervention, God displayed his power and sovereignty, showing that there is no God like him. To be continued.